here with Sean Peck of the band Death Dealer and, of course, Cage, and a new project also entitled Sherman Denner, Satan's Tomb. So we're going to talk to Sean Peck a little bit here. And Sean, tell us a little bit about the new and upcoming Death Dealer album entitled Hallowed Ground.
October 2nd. Man, there's a lot of backstories to this record, but anyone that's a fan of this genre of metal, of just like the true classic heavy metal with, you know, the power thrash thrown in, I have no idea how anyone could not just totally like this record. I mean, we've got some, you know, initial reviews that are hitting, and everyone pretty much universally says, man, it's like the first album, Warmaster, was great, but this thing is like, seems like it's light years ahead of the last record. And, you know, you've heard it, so maybe you might agree with that description.
I would completely 100% agree with that description.
Yeah, so the Hallowed Ground record's got just a lot of different stuff there. It opens up with the song Gunslinger, which has a full-on cinematic, epic orchestra intro that seems like it can be the beginning of Conan the Conqueror movie or something. And then it goes into this song. It's like an epic, I mean, 8-minute song to open the album with, which is like not the ideal thing, but that intro piece was just so right for an album opener. There's no other way not to put that song as the first song, but doesn't seem to be bothering anybody, and it's just got a lot of everything. It's got, you know, epic orchestration intros, it's got straight ahead, you know, thrash, speed metal song, it's got mid-tempo headbangers. There's no ballad this time, but there's 13 tracks, and it's a lot of music. And then I'm glad everyone is really noticing the brilliance of the last song, U666, because that's one of my favorites.
One of the first things I noticed about this album, Sean, and one of the things I noticed that I really love about it is the fact that, you know, you kind of made the songs a little more intricate. Your singing on this album is actually... it's actually a lot more varied. It varies a little bit more than what you typically do, and just a lot of the instrumental sections sound great, and you know, things are more refined on it. And maybe talk a bit about the songwriting for the album, and talk a bit about you know, the process. You know, was this something you did intentionally, or did these songs just kind of, you know, pretty much come out this way?
Well, we wrote the first album, like, literally wrote and recorded the Warmaster album in 2 months. I mean, from the day me and Stu said, hey, we got an idea, let's make a band called Death Dealer, ha ha ha. And then we called up Ross, and he's like, okay, I want to be in it. And then called up Mike Davis, he's like, yeah, I want to be in it. And we're like, you do? We're just like, okay, we guess we got to start a band now. The whole thing was done in 2 months, which is really fast for writing, you know, for considering the quality level that we got. So, yeah, this was a lot longer process, and therefore it sounds like, you know, the ideas are fully developed, and a lot of intricate, like, you know, breakdown parts in the middle, like in Gunslinger, like in U666, like in Skull and Crossbones, and... I got to tell all kinds of fun, frickin' wicked stories on it, and covered a lot of good classic heavy metal themes, and just a lot of good songs, man. I think it's one of these albums you instantly, like the first time through, you can just like a song like right off the bat. So this is not an album that like takes a while to grow on you. This is, should be like an instant grab.
Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, my favorite song on the album, I mean, and again, this Death Dealer album from top to bottom is absolutely amazing, but my favorite song is the song you just talked about, U666, the last song on the album, and maybe talk a bit about what went into that song and talk a bit about writing that track.
Well, one of the things, I mean, that I like from the first Cage album I ever put out, you know, I've read some reviews and they're like, you know, on some other albums, and they were always like, the album kind of peters out as it goes along. So one of the things in my career that I try to do is really pack a lot of the strong songs at the end of the album on purpose. And just so that there's no, you know, people like, you know, I listened to the first five, I'm good. So that's been, like, something I've tried to do all the time. And that song, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that song. It was basically Ross's idea first. He's like, he threw the title out at me, and I'm like, oh, cool. So I, you know, I've dabbled in that. You know, I wrote the Die Glock song for the Cage Supremacy of Steel album, which is about the Nazi bell. And, you know, I did a lot of research on the whole Nazi occult end of things, you know, and all the you know, Nazi UFOs and all the it's a little fascinating legend lore stuff that, you know, that's out there for that. Even on Discovery Channel's got, you know, a freaking 2-hour show on that kind of stuff. And so I kind of implemented a fictional story about, like, it's like the Hitler escape boat with the fall of the Reich, and it's been, you know, freaking powered by demonic black magic and stuff, and it just makes it where it's, you know, impervious to conventional warfare, and it just, like, ravages the whole, you know, it's like unstoppable in battle. And so one of the allies get to combat it was the ship, the USS Eldridge from the Philadelphia Experiment. So I took, which I'd already, of course, done on the Dark of the Black album. So I had those two ships on the in the song Battle It Out. And then it really worked cool. And, you know, I just came up with that verse melody, which I really love. And then Stu, you know, before we even, I had the song, kind of all the melodies together, then Stu sent us that intro thing, and it had, like, this Hitler speech underneath it, which was so killer, man. We're probably going to release a version. We have two different speeches. We had a German guy actually do a speech, you know, in German, of the script that we wanted to write out. It's like the Third Reich is fallen and all this stuff. But, like, the label people are like, oh, man, we can't put this out in Germany. It's too controversial. Like, so we had to pull the speech off the intro. And, like, and I was just talking to Ross yesterday. He's like, man, I just missed that speech. Because it just made the intro to that thing just so cool. And then I do those screams over the intro. And it was just like, at the beginning of that thing, it was just magic. And, yeah, man, it's just a rocker, and it's a great way, you know, to end the album. I can't wait to do that one live.
One of the aspects of the album I thought was really cool is the fact that you brought to light the song Total Devastation, which was on, you know, one of the Empires of Eden albums that you sang on. And to me, that is still one of my favorite heavy metal tracks of all time. I mean, it's just such a killer track. And I noticed there's some different slight tempo changes with the drums and the chorus, but overall, I think you guys did a great re-recording of that song. And talk a bit about making that song and making it a part of the album and bringing that song to light on this new Death Dealer album.
Yeah, man. I mean, that was the first song Stu and I ever did together. That's kind of started the whole relationship. And I left the vocals. I didn't do any new vocals on it, but Steve, you know, replayed all the drums, and that's where he had that chorus kind of broken down. And then Stu did some other different guitar stuff in it. It was really cool. But we just knew the song was so strong, and not many people heard it from Empires of Eden. So, you know, we go, why not just claim it as a Death Dealer song, and like we did Hammer Down. And, you know, the song is so strong, and just like, it just made the whole Hollow Ground album, you know, that much better. Like, okay, we know this song's golden. Not many people have heard it. Let's just throw it on the record and spice it up a bit.
So talk about some touring plans you have so far. I mean, I know there's some shows lined up, and so far, where are you guys going, and, you know, do you have any shows coming up?
Well, right now, in a couple of weeks, we're going to go on the Motorhead cruise with Slayer and Anthrax and Exodus and frickin' Corrosion of Conformity and a bunch of bands. You couldn't ask for a better frickin' gig than that. So, and one of the shows we're doing is on the main stage, so we're looking forward to that. We just did 3 weeks in Europe, which was really cool, and we filmed our Break the Silence video, which is, like, really doing well, man. All the metalheads out there that watch the video, thanks, because we're, like, getting, you know, about 1,000 plays a day, which is good for a band like us. And then we're going to Australia next June. We might do some shows in California in January. So this label, Sweden Music Group, who Cage is also signed to, is just it's just like the greatest thing that could ever happen to a band like ours. It's just like, we want to make a music video. We want to make two music videos. We want you to go on this tour. Here's a van to drive around in. I mean, it's just like so great, you know. So it makes us work. You know, I already work hard on the music, but it makes me work even harder. And they're just excited because they got a great album. You know, the reviews are already, you know, coming in 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10. So, and it's their first album. They're rolling out. So things are looking good. So I expect next summer, I'm sure we'll be touring. I know we got to get to the East Coast and the Midwest, you know, out where you're at. So that's probably going to be, you know, I'm thinking next summer-ish.
Well, I think this is great because what the label is doing for you, you just don't see labels do this type of stuff for bands anymore.
No, it's insane. I mean, you know, it's just like it's a label from 1985 or something. So we're super fortunate. The dudes are like as cool as you could imagine. They're running the thing, and they just really, you know, aren't afraid to invest in developing a band. Like, then that just doesn't happen anymore. So
yeah,
couldn't be better.
So talk about the significance of the title Hallowed Ground and the cover of the album.
Well, the cover is a hilarious story of last minute frickin' I don't even know if I should tell the story, but basically we had an entire another cover done. The whole album was going to be a Western themed album, and we'll probably incorporate a lot of the stuff that we had prepared in maybe a music video or a lyric video that we might come out with. But basically, the label didn't like the cover, so we got another cover together that the band really liked, and we got that done. One of those kind of prepaid, where those art people have, like, hey, these covers are available. And we actually found one of those pre-made, like, Photoshop ones, you know, out of skull and, like, cross guns and wings and kind of fit the vibe, and everyone liked it. We took that to the label, like, right when we're out in Sweden, they're like, we hate it. So it's two fucking album covers that they hated. And so we're all sitting around a table, and it's like, we got to have the album cover art tomorrow, you know? And it's just like a complete disaster. And then the cover that ended up being the Hollow Ground cover, which everyone universally just thinks is awesome, was actually going to be the cover of another book that I wrote called Seven Skulls. And that's the title of a song on the Dennis Sherman EP, when it kind of follows the story of the book. And so I had this book cover, like, ready to go, and I'm just sitting there, and there's, like, 15 of us at this table all talking, you know, and I go, hey, what about this? And I pulled this thing up, and everyone was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. What, can we use that? And I'm like, oh, I got to sacrifice my book art that I had all ready to go for the Death Dealer. But it seemed to work, you know, the look of it and the theme of it seemed to work with the image. And everyone just goes, yeah, go ahead, we want that, Sean. And I'm like, okay. So I took one for the team, and that's the story, how the album cover came to be.
So what's the significance of the title Hallowed Ground?
Well, the original artwork was kind of like the Death Dealer guy, you know, in a Western times, like the same character, and he'd stumbled upon like an Indian burial ground,
mm-hmm.
and like all these Indian zombies are crawling up at him while he's kind of fighting them off.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, Hollow Ground was like, you know, it's like an Indian burial ground, and he was in the, you know, like a grave robber or something. And, you know, I couldn't believe no one had used that title for an album. I mean, I Googled it, and, like, there was nothing. I'm like, you gotta be kidding. No one's used this frickin' album title before. And, you know, and the way that it looks with that big devil character and the fire coming up, it kind of looks like the guy stumbled upon, you know, a similar situation. So it kind of tied together and everything, but that was the original concept, and luckily it could tie into our new artwork. That's the insider baseball story, man. It's like behind the music right there.
So do you have anything coming out, like a big pre-order package like you did, say, for the first Death Dealer album?
We just have, I think, just there's the LP, and then there's a shirt and Digipack bundle. There's no, it was because of the label deal, we couldn't put together an extravagant pre-order pack like last time. And everyone that got the pre-order pack last time knows it was freaking, like, out of control, killer. And that was kind of unfortunate that we didn't get to do it this time. But with the new label and the new distribution, it's just like they couldn't make it happen. But we'll be more prepared for the third Death Dealer album, and we'll have, I think we're going to be moving into the statue realm, which I'm really excited about. We're going to probably have a freaking like statue pack next time.
So talk a little bit about some of the other stuff you got going on. The Cage album, you know, is obviously going to be coming out here pretty soon. And, you know, the whole Sherman Denner thing, I'm interested to hear how that entire thing ended up coming about.
That was, I'd done the Keep It True with Warrior. Warrior did two shows. We came back. We're like, let's make a band. Let's do the Warrior thing. Everyone's in Southern California. We're able to play it live, started writing some songs. And then the two guitar players just go, we got other things going on. So they flaked out kind of on the whole Warrior thing, which was kind of a shame because I kind of had fun playing, singing those songs. They kind of grew on me. And then I had seen that Hank Sherman, there was a news story that they were going to do an album. And so I messaged him on Facebook going, like, 7 months before I heard back from him, going, "Hey, man, my name's Sean Peck. I sing in a band called Cage. I don't know if you know me, but, you know, if you're looking for any singers, I'd love to sing a song, you know, on your record." So, like, 6-7 months later, I get this another message back. "Hey, Sean, it's Hank. Are you still interested in, you know, doing the song?" And I'm like, I didn't believe the guy even got back to me. I was, like, freaking out. Like, dude, Hank Sherman freaking messaged me. And I'm all, like, fanboyed out. And he goes, "Here, let me send you a track, man." So he sent me this track, which ended up being War Witch. It's kind of like a painkiller thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, I could freaking destroy this thing. And then he goes, wait, here, let's try this track. This is another one that we had, you know, we were going to do. And the one he sent me ended up being the title track called Satan's Tomb. And all I did, I heard it, and I go, oh, this is sick. And I went in to my home studio, just recorded a chorus. I came up with a chorus idea. And sent him the chorus idea, and he hits me like, goes, "Dude, I love it." You know, I'm like holding my breath, like, man, I hope he likes this. I don't want to blow my chance. And he hit me back, goes, "Hey, do you want to do all four songs on the EP?" I'm like, yes, I absolutely do. I want to do everything. And so me and Hank just started like writing, and man, it just started flowing. Man, he really dug all the stuff I did. I mean, it was just kind of like how when me and Stu started writing together. Man, it was just like, you know, real good writing team. And he liked the fact that, you know, I was like, he'd send me something, and then like that, you know, 4 hours later, he had vocal tracks to mess with. And so we wrote these, you know, we came up with these four songs and, you know, recorded them. And now we're like 6 or 7 songs into the full length, you know, and they signed it to Metal Blade, so they've got a long relationship with Metal Blade. And then, you know, I saw Brian Schlegel, the owner of Metal Blade, at the King Diamond concert, and he was just like, "Dude, I just love it, man. It's so cool." And so they're all into it, and we're now just starting to get reviews from that. And, you know, people are like, it's, you know, having to fill King Diamond's shoes, so to speak, you know, being, not filling his shoes, but being the guy with them. Of course, there's going to be, you know, people, I would think there'd be like way more haters than there are. And like, I haven't seen any haters yet, but nothing but good praise. And, you know, like the full wave hasn't even hit yet. But those guys, I think that like they could put out just some garbage, the worst shit ever, and their fans are so loyal, they would just go, it's amazing. So I'm a little, you know, I'm like tempering my enthusiasm, but they just have such loyal freaks, just like me. I mean, I'm a freaking Merciful Fate King Diamond fanatic. And so,
yeah.
And then, you know, Snowy Shaw is in the band, and when we did the Death Dealer tour, he came out to the Gothenburg show, and he got up on stage with me and sang Hail and Kill with the band, so that was cool. So we got to sing together, and then we hung out and, you know, talked. And so it's, you know, I hear some of the interviews that Hank does, and he's just got, like, nothing but really good stuff to say about me. It's like, really humbling. And the other cool thing is I get to, you just tell more crazy freaking stories. You know, it's like right up their alley. So an insider information about the Satan's Tomb thing is actually just a fictional story that takes place like in the Hell Destroyer mythos. that goes like after the song Metal Devil and in between the song Hell Destroyer versus Metal Devil. So I kind of infuse a little Cage mythos into the Dennis Sherman world. So, and everyone seems to like it. And like I said, I'm just really grateful to be part of it. And I guess, you know, we got a full length coming out and we're going to be doing shows.
So let's talk a little bit about this new Cage album that's going to be coming out. And I know it's a bit different from what you've done before, and we will probably go into more detail on another interview for the show, because that record obviously is going to entail a whole other interview with the storyline and everything. But talk a little bit about the upcoming Cage album that you're going to be having coming out here in the next couple months.
Well, I mean, like I said, I want to get back on the air with you again when you've heard the whole record, because the whole thing started when I got hit up by a couple ex-King Diamond members again, like coincidentally. They were like, we want to do an album, and, you know, we're looking for a singer, and, you know, do you want to do it? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And then they just started flaking, but in the meantime, I started writing, like, the basics of an outline of a concept, you know, horror story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the King Diamond vein, because I'm already writing frickin' stories as it is. And this was like 5 or 6 years ago. I don't remember how long ago it was. Probably like 5 years ago. And so I started working on the story, and then as they flaked out, I mean, I had already put together the story, and I'm like, God, this thing's pretty cool. Maybe we should just do a Cage album, you know, concept horror story in the vein of a Abigail or a Them type thing. And the more I wrote the story, the more blanks that I just kept filling in, you know, like, okay, well, he gets out of the carriage and then walks to the door. Like, all those minute details you got to fill when you're actually writing. It's a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, next thing you know, I had this, you know, I think it's like 150-page, you know, mini book. So I let all the guys read it, and I'm like, well, what do you guys think about this? And they're like, dude, this is freaking cool. So we embarked on the journey of trying to make this horror concept record, which is really hard to do. I mean, we had real good success with the Hell Destroyer record. And, you know, making a concept record, it's long. It's almost 80 minutes long. It's got 5, you know, narration parts. It's 19 tracks. So 14 songs and then 5 narration kind of parts with sound effects and stuff. And just making an album that's a concept album that people are going to, number one, the story, and number two, the songs aren't going to be so abstract and it's just like a full progged out, you know, thing that you don't even remember, you know, what, there's no memorable songs, is not my style, and it's really tough to do. So I kept the story pretty straightforward. I hate those concept albums where it's like, oh, well, it's about a dream that's in a guy's head that he, you know, of a mystery, of a something that he thought in another dimension, or just a bunch of abstract crap. I hate that stuff. So it's like my influence of, you know, video games, H.P. Lovecraft, frickin' horror movies, you know, all wrapped into one. So there's just, like, tons of action in the story, and, you know, it's not the happiest of endings, and a lot of sex thrown in there, because, I mean, I think most horror stories are best when they've got some sex thrown in. And then we just, you know, wrote the songs to it, and just in order to tell the story, this thing ended up being like 80 minutes long. We're like, oh my God, this thing is a monster. So it's at the pressing plant now. We don't even know if it's going to fit on one CD, so it might not. And then the LP, the vinyl that's coming out, actually has 2 bonus tracks on it, too. So it's just a freaking mammoth amount of music. And we'll talk more about it, you know, after you've heard it. So I'm dying to know what you think about it, because you know a lot about the Cage background.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people are saying, oh, this is for sure going to be your, you know, biggest record yet. But I don't know. It's not. The songs are all catchy and stuff. I think it's going to be one that has to grow on you a little bit more. But then again, some of the people who have already heard it are like, no, man, I just, you know, was rocking it from straight through. So really excited about it. A ton of work went in. We had a pre-order package before we signed the label deal that, you know, some lucky people got in on. It just has, like, it's like that Death Dealer package. It's got an actual paperback book version. It's got a giant flag and pics and, you know, all kinds of stickers, tins. I mean, it's just got so much crap in it. I don't know how much money we're losing per package, but I don't care. I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it for, like, the fan experience. I just love getting those posts and emails from the fans. Like, dude, I got my package, and it's freaking amazing. I mean, it's just so satisfying, man, to have people, you know, appreciate this freaking labor of love and this artwork that you've done, and have them just tell you how much they love it. Which today, you know, the lyric video came out for it, and you know that's going all over the internet, and hearing the response from that song and the lyric video is super cool. It's almost like a mini movie, really creepy and stuff. So I'm excited, man. It's another, you know, I'm always trying to, you know, innovate in the idea department, and this is just another kind of innovative product. And there's also even an audio book where I read the whole book and recorded it, so I think we might give that out free with the Cage pre-orders. I'm not sure.
So I have a couple more questions for you, Sean, and the first one is, I know it's a little bit early to ask because the album hasn't even come out yet, but do you guys have any ideas for another record? I know you all are constantly writing, and you know, have you guys thought about, you know, what's going to be on album number 3 at all, now that this one's going to come out and this Death Dealer album is really going to sound, you know, really sounds amazing?
Yeah, I think Stu has like 7 pieces in there. I still have 4 or 5 songs left over from the last writing session that we weren't able to get to. So yeah, I mean, there's already I'm working on the Dennis Sherman full length. I got to finish that. And then there's a thing that the Cage Band's working on, which is called Project Number 1, which is going to be, I'll tell you what it is off air, but on air it will remain a guarded secret. But it's going to, when that press release hits, people are going to just go, what the hell, I can't wait to get that one out. So that there's 2 albums that are in front of the third Death Dealer right now. But after those are done, which hopefully, you know, probably like February, we'll start really cranking into the Death Dealer stuff. But I'm pretty good at multitasking, man. And it was real easy to compartmentalize because, you know, the Cage was all concept album. So any other idea that I came up with that wasn't in that concept story, I was able to throw into the Death Dealer idea department. So, we got a head start. And like I said, early next year, we'll probably start cranking out the next one.
So do you have any last words or anything that you want to say to the fans that are going to be checking out this interview on the Metal Command show, you know, as far as Death Dealer fans, Cage fans, whatever? Any last words for your fans, man?
Oh, one thing I did want to say is one of the cool things we got coming up is I'm playing the Titans of Metal Festival in Israel. And I've been selected like as kind of an all-star singer, which is like really flattering. Like, oh, you guys want me to come and sing? Which is really cool with Michael Denner and Hank Sherman, which is going to be the first time I ever play with those guys. And we're doing Evil and Come to the Sabbath by Merciful Fate. Ross, the Boss, Mark, I think Grapow from Halloween, that one singer, not Tarja, but the girl after Tarja from Nightwish, Chuck Billy, Testament, the Tony McAlpine, frickin' all kinds of people are on this thing. So it's going to be Ripper's going, Ralph Siebers is going. So that's really cool, and I'm really excited because the first time I'm ever going to play with Hank Sherman and Michael Denner is going to be in frickin' Tel Aviv, Israel, singing Merciful Fate in an arena. So I'm pumped up on that. But yeah, just just lots of fans and lots of friends on, you know, the Facebook world. It's just cool. So you can get instant gratification and make so many friends online, just from all over. This guy just yesterday from Iran posted this layout of all of his Death Dealer swag. He had both versions of the vinyl, the splash and the black, the pre-order pack with all the crap laid out. This dude's in Iran, like, going, I'm a huge Death Dealer fan. I'm like, dude, don't you get freaking sent to prison for running that? Be careful with that. So
I have listeners over there. As crazy as that is, there's guys. I've had a couple people from Iran listen to my radio show. It's funny as that sounds.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we shipped a couple packages to Saudi Arabia, and it's just wild. The first Dennis Sherman review was from India. So it just, you know, like, you know, man, metal just, like, unites people. That's why I gotta back off my political rhetoric, because there's so many metalhead fans I like that have completely freaking different political views of me. I'm like, I gotta just, like, cut that out and just go back to the metal religion, and, you know, and
yeah.
One day I'm gonna start my own heavy metal commune where we can all live together and freaking, of course, it'll be more like a monarchy, because I'll be the dictator running it, but it'll be a great place to live.